Since the beginning of January, we've been exploring the story of Nehemiah with the sermon series, Renovate, Building a Life with God. Nehemiah was from Jerusalem, but had grown up in exile in Persia, and he was the cupbearer for the Persian king Artaxerxes. It was a position of responsibility, and it had some risk. He tasted the king's wine before the king was allowed to drink it. But Nehemiah did his job faithfully, and the king trusted Nehemiah. One day, Nehemiah has a conversation with fellow Jews who have been home to Jerusalem, and they mention that the walls and the gates of the city, which had been destroyed more than 100 years before, were still in ruins. They had not been rebuilt. And this saddened Nehemiah. And even though he had a respected job in the court of the Persian king, Nehemiah felt a tug at his heart. The need to rebuild the walls and the gates of Jerusalem settled on him and wouldn't let go. So he asked for permission from King Artaxerxes to return to Jerusalem for this task. And Artaxerxes not only gave him permission, but he gave him letters of passage and supplies for the project. And once he arrived in Jerusalem, Nehemiah took some time to rest and gather strength for the task ahead. Then he examined the walls to see what they were dealing with. And then he organized and motivated the residents of Jerusalem to help get the job done. It didn't matter what your station or position was in the city, this was a project for everyone. And nearly everyone took on a section of the wall to complete. There were detractors, of course. There were naysayers. There were saboteurs, like Sanballat, the governor of Samaria, and Tobiah the Ammonite, who didn't want to see the Jews succeed in the rebuilding of the wall. So they stirred up trouble and plotted against Nehemiah and made the workers fearful. Nehemiah came up with a plan to use some of the people to provide security for the wall and others to complete the work. And the stone walls and the cedar gates of Jerusalem were rebuilt in just 52 days. And through all of this, Nehemiah prayed. He prayed for the right way and the right time to approach King Artaxerxes about what was on his heart and on his mind. He prayed for strength when troublemakers threatened him and the project, and he placed everything in God's hands. Nehemiah strove to remember who he was and whose he was and why he was taking on this seemingly impossible task. And while he worked to remember who he was, he asked God to remember him and the circumstances that he found himself in, and even his challenges. Nehemiah was always at home with God, whether he was in a palace court in Persia or walking amidst the rubble of the walls of Jerusalem. He was at home with God wherever he was. So now, fast forward, and here we are. Nehemiah and Ezra the priest and a small population of the people of Jerusalem, with the new walls and the new gates finished in 52 days. But something's missing. Nehemiah looks around and he wonders, where is everybody? It's almost like he was so focused on getting the wall done and the gates repaired, he hadn't noticed the decline in population in Jerusalem. There was a lot of space. The city was large and spacious, said Nehemiah, but there were few people in it, and the houses had not yet been rebuilt. Now, we can look at this two ways. The houses had not yet been rebuilt physically, and the houses had not yet been rebuilt spiritually. Ezra the priest had arrived in Jerusalem just 13 years ahead of Nehemiah, and it was about 58 years after the temple of Jerusalem had been rebuilt. And Ezra, when he returned, brought a group of exiles with him. He brought them home to the city of their ancestors. But Ezra was disheartened to discover that the few residents of Jerusalem that remained had strayed very far from the laws of God. So Ezra set about rebuilding the community spiritually. And even though he had a 13-year head start on Nehemiah, rebuilding souls after generations of brokenness proved to be a slow process. When Nehemiah arrived, he found not only broken walls, but broken lives and broken people as well. And on the surface, it seemed like the walls would repair faster. Now, Ezra's name means help. And in Ezra, Nehemiah found a helper to build Jerusalem on a whole other level. Working together, Nehemiah and Ezra rebuilt not just the walls, but the people as well. Nehemiah says God put into his heart to assemble everybody and register them, everybody. It didn't matter if you were noble or common, if you were a priest or a shepherd. Nehemiah wanted to know who you were and who your ancestors were. Now, if you've ever had the opportunity to trace your family tree, or if you've ever watched Finding Your Roots on PBS, it's pretty cool to go back 5 or 6 or 7 generations. I mean, we're talking hundreds of years, potentially, and you can see who you are and where you've come from. And buried in those dates and times and names and places are stories, events that happened that influenced decisions from your ancestors and brought you to where you are today, sitting in a pew in Epworth United Methodist Church. But among the Jews, genealogies were greatly valued and carefully kept in order to offer proof that you were a descendant of Abraham. So Nehemiah went in search of the genealogy of Jerusalem for the first people to return from exile. He wanted to know who was there and how many family members they still had out there. And this list might have even been compiled by Ezra, but tracking all the descendants present of every family that was represented, plus the descendants of servants and temple servants of Solomon, descendants of priests and singers and gatekeepers, the genealogy tallied over 50,000 people. Where were they? Nehemiah set out to bring them home, as many as he could. Come home and settle in your towns. Come out of exile. The walls have been rebuilt. Come back to Jerusalem. Come home. And when these people were all back in their towns, everyone assembled inside the rebuilt walls of Jerusalem on the first day of the 7th month. The descendants of Elam and Jericho and Jediah and Peshur and Yeshua and thousands of others. Can you imagine all of these people gathered in a large square near the brand new water gate, all of them looking around at each other, maybe reality beginning to dawn on them as the light grows in the sky? We're home. We are one. Maybe it even occurs to a few of them that this is the prophecy that Daniel had spoken of years before. The city has been rebuilt. It's been so long, they never expected it to happen. And now the people of God are home. Nehemiah has gathered them together. And now it's time for Ezra to remind them of who they are and whose they are and how they're supposed to live. It's time for Ezra to set about repairing the people. They ask him to bring out the book of the law of Moses, and from sunup to midday, the people of Jerusalem are on their feet, listening to Ezra read from the book and listening to the Levites teach the words to them. They praise the Lord with their faces to the ground in humility, repentance. It was a reminder of their brokenness as they heard the words. And everyone in the crowd was broken in a different way. They'd all sinned. They'd all made mistakes. But they were all alike. They were children of God. They were broken, but they were home. And they were forgiven. The rebuilt temple walls and gates of Jerusalem were new, and they could be remade too. So consider your genealogy. Who are you? You probably have at least one generation that you can identify. And you have ancestors that go back centuries, even if you don't know their names. They're out there somewhere. And maybe a DNA swab will help narrow things down for you and tell you you're a mix of European, Native American, and sub-Saharan African ancestry. Who knows? In the Bible study that I just finished facilitating, The Salvation of Doctor Who, there were a few sentences in the first chapter of the book that really stuck out because we are in constant search for our identity, and we mean different things to different people. And author Matt Rowley wrote, "My guess is if you ask 12 different people to describe you, that you'll get 12 different answers. And are you who they think you are? Maybe, and maybe not. Maybe you are simply a child of God and a follower of Christ, and that's all the world needs to know. So who are you? Are you in exile? Is that something you did on your own, or did circumstances put you there, and now you can't find your way home? Or do you think the gates will always be locked against you? Have you noticed that God really, really wants you to come home? He wants all of us to feel free to come home. You always have a place. Bring your broken pieces. God doesn't mind. In fact, God thinks they're beautiful. Throughout the Bible, people are searching for home. They wander in the desert. They have to overcome their oppressors and fix their mistakes. But they find home. And from this story with Nehemiah, with the rebuilding and renewing and fixing, healing and repenting and relocating, all the way through the New Testament, you think about the story of the prodigal son, they're all stories about home. They're illustrations of home. It tells us that God always has a home for us. Even when you've been away, in exile, even when you're damaged. There is a home with high, safe, and solid walls, and where the gates are never barred against you, where everyone is equally blessed and broken and forgiven, where healing begins and begins again, and where the covenant of love never fails. Amen.